Good afternoon. This is Stephen McCarthy from the McCarthy Project, and we are coming to you actually on tape today with Mike Aiken of BMX fame. How you doing today, Mike?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing out there?
Doing well, doing well. It is a unfortunate, not a good day to ride your bike. The last couple of days have been the 45, 50 degree, rainy, you know, the one days that are not the great days to be alive and out on your bike, unfortunately. So what do you do? But nonetheless, before we get going into a list of questions I have specifically about how you do all those cool tricks that you do, give us a little bit of a history on how you got involved in the sport and what keeps you motivated to stay at the top.
Well, I started when I was 11. I started BMX racing, and did that for about 3.5-4 years, and eventually started building trails with some buddies out in the woods, and that just led into what I do now. I just kind of happened to TJ Lavin and Fuzzy Hall got me hooked up with a bike sponsor. They said this guy's pretty good, and it somehow just turned into, I guess, what you'd call a job, and it doesn't really feel like a job still. It's just what I do to make money, and, you know, I love it. It's my passion. It's what I love, so I'm very lucky and blessed.
It is an interesting sport, to be honest with you. I have, as a parent, you know, you always love to think that the idea of a bike is to keep it on the ground, you know, from that standpoint. But you have perfected the idea of going high and doing things that are not natural on a bike. Did you think of these up yourself, or was it something that you've kind of built upon other people's, you know, tricks, or what kind of has been your inspiration, I guess?
You're always inspired by other people, but I've always looked at it kind of like in my own light and done what I wanted and what I'm excited about. And it was my own passion, obviously. And I've never looked at it as a sport. I'm kind of an artist, and it's a blank canvas out there. So I just do what I do. And I mean, see what I see. So it's just really, it's an art to me and a lifestyle. So I mean, it's as simple as that. And different things in life inspire me to do something different with it, you know. So I just follow my heart and my head, and you know, that kind of leads the way.
I think that's fantastic. I didn't realize that would be a part, you know. I always thought it was kind of the adrenaline rush of it all, you know, so to speak, you know, versus
creativity. Well, that definitely plays a factor, you know. Like, I enjoyed that aspect of it too, but I'd say that grabbed me at first when I was young. But then as I got older, that kind of, you learn how to channel that, you know. You learn how to channel that, and then it plays into other factors, you know.
Because in the end, when you look at it, how do you allow yourself to get that high? Because I know that in some ways, people, you know, if you move into that freedom or creativity aspect, I can see how that would release you to do things that are not normal, because now you're creating, if you will. But there, on the other hand, you have to get used to being that high or in the air that long. How did you kind of bridge that gap, or is it something that you still continue to work on?
It depends on the jump or whatever you're trying to hit or what you're trying to achieve, on how high you go or how low you go or what you're trying to gain and what you're doing. But a lot of it is speed. A lot of it is how hard you pull back on your bike, and a lot of it is natural too. Some people naturally go higher than others. That's just built into the way that they ride, you know. Like, I've been told that from day one, like, how do you go so high? And I'm like, huh? You know, like, I just ride. I don't know.
It just
so,
happens.
I mean, yeah, it just happens with some people. So, I mean, there's a Tom Dugan. He rides for the same bike company I do, and Fit Bike Company, and he just goes ridiculously high, and that's just who he is and how he rides. So, you know, some people are just gifted that way, you know. And they don't even realize it. They just love to go high. So,
because there's the other part too is that do you do like any sort of like strength training, or is it just a natural gift of going high? Do you do any sort of like fitness work?
No, I don't. Until recently, when I had a really bad accident, and I was forced to do fitness training, and I've never really done it. The only training I've ever had has been on my bike. You know, so I've never done anything like that.
what's your general thought? Is it too restricting?
Is it what?
Too restricting. I mean, does it sit there and say, oh, great, now I got to go do this stupid bench press over and over and over.
No, it's just, it's too, I don't know. I want to, when I work out, like train my body, I want to do something that's fun, that's challenging, that puts a smile on my face. Like sitting in a gym full of dudes all trying to be the toughest guy doesn't exactly put a smile on my face, you know?
Oh, the buys and tries and the chest on Tuesday and the legs on Wednesday, and they walk around with the testosterone.
That's
big,
not
you know?
Fun, man. That's not fun, and fun is the best. You know, I'm not trying to be the best looking, toughest looking guy out there, you know? I'm trying to have the most fun in life because you only live once.
Just to give you a little background, we have worked with over 10,000 athletes in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and so we've been in a lot of weight rooms over the last 12 years. And I laugh because it is the funniest sight when you have the gentleman that is doing the buys and tries because he read the bodybuilding magazine, he forgets to do his bottom half, so he's got two pencil legs and his arms and his chest are three or four sizes bigger than his legs. You know, it's
I know exactly what you mean.
It's like, what do you do? But
well,
anyway,
I had to step into the weight room is because of things that happened in the past 5 years, and I did not enjoy it.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. And is that the only downside of the sport, is that you do ultimately have to kind of pay the price with pain once in a while?
Well, you know, you got to pay to play, and it's not I guess you can look at it either way. It's a downside, but, you know, you can learn other things when you're down, you know, and life gives you what you can take, you know, so...
Yes, but it is a fun thing. All right, so let's move over to a couple of questions that Nate Hansen and Tyson McCarthy put together for you.
All right.
Are you ready?
I love Nate Hansen. Yep.
Yeah. All right, so here we go. What is the hardest bike trick that you've ever done?
A tough one. I would have to go to like a technical sort of trick. I can't list any certain one, but on the technical side, I would have to say like probably some sort of a technical grinding trick or something that you have to spend a lot of time on, you know, because I don't really dabble in that sort of stuff. Mainly I tend to ride trails and just do my own flowy type of stuff, you know? So.
Yes, creative. It doesn't necessarily lead you to names and grouping things together, does it?
Not really. I mean, I'm not really that type of a rider. I mean, I would lean more towards Chad Curley and that sort of stuff. He does a lot of really technical, hard stuff, you know, and one doesn't come to mind. I hate to disappoint, but I've never really spent a lot of time on one that I'm like, oh man, this trick, you know?
That's the one. All right, so what is your favorite bike?
My favorite bike?
Yeah. Which model?
Because
we know that you have your own line and all.
Right now, we just came out with the Fitbico Moto Mike, and it's modeled after to look like the late 70s Moto Mag, Mongoose Moto Mag, and it is a sight for sore eyes. It's beautiful, and it's a trans gold, and it just looks so amazing. It's just a classic looking bike, and that's right now it's my favorite. I mean, it's the best bike I've ever ridden. So,
alrighty, and then last question: what does it take to be really good at the sport of BMX?
You gotta ride a lot, and you gotta love it. I mean, and you gotta not do it for the wrong reasons. You can't do it to be the best. That's doing it for a wrong reason right there, you know. Just do it because you like it and love it and want to do it, you know. That's the thing right there. Just be passionate.
Now, this is the dad side of the question, because this is me asking. When your son comes home to you and asks about having some sort of half pipe or jump in the backyard, and he wants you to build one, should you build one?
If you got room for it, I think you should.
What happens if you don't have room for it?
Then you explain to your son that we don't have room for it and we can't do it, man, but I sure would like to do it for you, because I know if my son asked me, I want to support him any way I can, you know, whatever he did, I don't care what it is. If he wanted to build a baseball dugout, I sure don't have room for it, but I sure would. I'll take him to a dugout every day, you know, if I can, if we got time.
Yes, that is one thing that I think has been interesting, at least in Minnesota recently, is that they are coming out, you know, like I noticed, you know, like on YouTube, just getting prepared, that there are a lot of indoor parks, you know. In Minnesota, they seem to be coming, you know, they're usually just not the big, you know, warehouse, you know, with, you know, a jump or two in it. You know, they actually have some technicality to them, you know. But I see out in, you know, California and Deer Deck is trying to put together all his big, you know, parks across the nation, so to speak. What's the best park ever?
I don't think there's a best park ever. It depends on your riding style and what you like to ride. And there's a lot of parks in Salt Lake, like cement skate parks. And it depends on my mood, which one I want to ride that day. So it kind of depends on what mood you're in to what you want to ride. And Shanghai Chana has a really ridiculously big cement skate park. And supposedly that's the best one in the world. But it depends on, I've never been there. It depends on which one what mood you're in to which you want to ride, you know. It's like music. What mood you're in, it depends on what mood you're in to what you want to listen to, you know. Or a movie, what mood you're in to what you want to watch. I think.
Yes.
Anyways.
See, the funny thing about the world of BMX is it, and I hear what you're saying, is it really is a game of creativity. There isn't a score, you know, where, okay, you won 35-10 or something like this. It really is an art form. You know, at least that's what I'm hearing. Is that one of the biggest ditches, you've mentioned a couple times, that kids get into, is they think that they're going to do it for money and then they lose, you know, the motivation, or they have in it for the wrong and they can't create the way that you feel that they should be able to?
Yeah, I think kids just need to do it for fun, and if it happens, it happens. It was meant to be. And also a big thing I think now is a lot of kids are good. It doesn't matter how good you are. Like, because so many kids are good. I go to the skate parks, and I'm just amazed by how many kids can do so much. And a thing that's playing a big role, and now with kids getting picked up, is you need to be a good person and a cool person, you know. So that plays a big role in it, too. You need to work on your people skills and, like, how the full package, you know? Because no one wants to travel around with a person that's just like kind of, you know what I mean?
Just a pain.
Yeah, a weird guy that's kind of like loud. And, you know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean. Because that's one of the things that I think, even today with the world of social media and technology. Pardon me?
Just be a good person.
Yep. And you think about it, because social media and technology has really eliminated a lot of the communication skills that kids are learning. And I think, honestly, the world of riding your bike, it obviously you can't be texting at the same time. Whereas if you're a basketball player riding to the court or something, you always got this downtime. At least with BMXers, there's always some activity or they're riding somewhere, and they really do seem to have a lot more time to talk and work things out.
Yeah, I would tell kids this. Be a good person. Do it for yourself and be yourself. And those are the three things that would help you the most in being a professional, whatever you want to be. Being a pro professional skateboarder, BMXer, just being a professional life star.
That is way cool stuff. All righty, where can people get a hold of you if they'd like to kind of follow you?
You can follow me at NightWolfSLC on Twitter and on Instagram.
Done. Thank you for your time today.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.